Good morning, 641 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is on the line from the Pensacola Police Department. He's the Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you and good morning.
Good morning. Weird to have you an hour early, but we're expecting the governor in an hour, and I didn't want to lose our ability to talk to you, and I certainly have to air the governor the day after a Category 3 hurricane hit Central Florida. So here we are today. I did want to ask you about that. You guys, I think, were getting ready to deploy this morning, and we'd had reports of, you know, a large convoy of lights on, sirens active, responding vehicles on I-10. Was that y'all leaving town?
That was part of us. We left with 10 this morning, along with Escambia County and Gulf Breeze, all headed down that direction and to assist with whatever they need. Our officers are headed to Bradenton Beach and Holmes Beach to help out in any way that is needed by the local authorities there.
Okay, so we got 10 for PPD and a bunch from Escambia and Gulf Breeze that are headed out of town this morning. Very good. And that, I assume that was a let's wait and see where they want us. Let's not get in the middle of the storm and we don't have to go early, basically, right?
Yeah, you know, they're going to get down there and get set up and hit the ground running. A lot of that's going to have to do with escorting fuel trucks and utility trucks and assisting in clearing the roadways and other law enforcement duties. But, you know, I want to give a shout out to the Panama City Police Department. Most of the time when we go to areas like this, the first night we're going to sleep on a cot out in the open, no tent, no nothing. That's happened several times in the past. But Panama City has got a sleeper trailer, air conditioned with bunks. They've got a shower trailer. They've got a trailer that has that's capable of doing the laundry for the officers. All of that set up down there, and they've offered to give that or give us access to that to those trucks. So we sure do appreciate that.
Wow, I guess I never thought much about sleep. I kind of, I don't know, assumed that, you know, you'd take a tent with you or something like that. But just sleeping on a cot on a lawn somewhere, you know, that makes sense unless there's some place to do it more safely. And, you know, it's really nice that the Panama City cops are offering that. So that's actually really good news. I did want to ask you, we had an armed robbery, just a robbery, I forget now, at the Pan Air on Airport earlier this week. Is that right?
Yeah, that was on the 4th, where an individual, they believe it was a white or Hispanic male, walked in there demanding money. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. We're still working on that case, so if anybody has any information on that, to please contact the police department or to remain anonymous, contact Crime Stoppers. But, yeah, we're working on that one. You know, that's a big building on the airport. I don't believe that there's been any incidents there before. Hopefully there won't be again, but yeah, we're still working on that and hope to get some answers soon on that.
And I'm sorry, I blinked my ears for a second. Did you say armed or not armed, or do we know at this point?
Not from what I understand, a weapon was not displayed.
Okay.
But when they threaten to use a weapon, it's the same thing. They may as well have it.
And I always ask this question because I'm always thinking, like I'm sure other people do, of, you know, what if I'm in this circumstance? If I'm in a bank and something is happening, you know, we've all seen a million movies, but I don't care what the movies say. What does Mike Wood say? I conceal carry. What do you want me to do?
Well, that's up to you. If you believe that your life is in danger or anyone else in that facility, then the law says that you can do what you need to do. You can use that your weapon, but you have to be able to articulate that you were in or someone else was in immediate danger of severe injury or death.
And you know, since we're on that point, just because the storm is going on and Governor DeSantis yesterday made the comment about, you know, you never know if you're going to go loot somewhere, you never know what you're going to get behind a closed door in a Second Amendment state. Just so people hear it from you, because I said it earlier, but just so they hear it from you, unless you believe that your life or somebody else's life or limb is in serious danger, you cannot shoot somebody, even if they're doing the horrible, evil, terrible, uncivilized, awful thing of stealing property. If it's just property, you can't shoot somebody, right?
Yeah. So if they rob that bank and they're walking out and they're not threatening anyone, they're not threatening you, and you shoot them in the back, you might have some problems coming. So the best thing, what we suggest you do, is just be a good witness. Pay attention to what they're wearing, how tall they are, what direction they left in. That would help us out more than anything.
Very good. And by the way, that's one of those things I learned from doing the Citizens Police Academy is in the moment, you're like, adrenaline just makes your brain useless. And so you've got to force yourself to pay attention. Like you said, what are they wearing? How tall are they? I mean, you know, you just blank. You don't even see these things. Mike, have you had a chance to meet the new boss, Tim Kinsler? Has he been around the police station yet?
Not as the new boss, but I've met him before. And what a wonderful man. What a huge, huge score for the city of Pensacola to be able to net him in that position. I see a lot of good things coming. Just what a fantastic decision.
No, I agree. And, it's only going to be good things from here because of that. I got an odd question from somebody that I thought I would ask you because maybe you know. New cars often come with new technology, and one of the new pieces of technology is that the lights, if you have your high beams on, will auto dim if they see oncoming light so that the car is actually protecting other drivers from you. You know, in my day, we always you just had to ride the high beams and, you know, manage appropriately. But I had somebody tell me that she thought now the advice might be leave your high beams on all the time and the car will protect everybody. And she's like, I just can't do it. It's so ingrained in me not to do it that way. What is the advice when you've got a car with that feature?
Okay, so there's something different, or not, I don't want to say wrong with that, but I own a new truck that has that on it.
Okay.
And it's not a matter of leaving the high beams on. You cannot leave the high beams on. That feature, the automatic dimmer, will not let you do that. So when it's activated and it senses darkness, the high beams are going to come on by themselves. And as soon as it sees taillights or headlights coming at the vehicle, it will auto-dim those lights. But it will not let me, because I tried it out. It will not let me leave it on high if that feature is activated. Now, I can manually turn it off. It's on the turn signal stick. And if I turn it off, then, yes, I can leave the high beams on. But once that system is activated, it's pretty smart. It detects the vehicles and dims them very quickly.
Okay. So maybe a car model-specific feature or options, but basically, it's designed to work, and it works. So if you want it on auto, it's going to help you out in all those situations. And I didn't know about the 35-mile-an-hour thing. That's interesting. Red light cameras, we're still waiting on parts or supplies or some nebulous. We're just not quite sure when we're going to get them.
Yeah, it could be all of the above.
Okay. I mean,
there's logistics that are still being worked out on that. And once that's online, we're certainly going to let everybody know.
All right. And I don't think we talked about this. My brain sometimes. But your officers were working a robbery last night at Ian Cervantes, right?
Yeah, it's that quick stop market right there, a convenience store on the southwest side.
Yeah, just across from Maddox Court. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one. There was an individual robbed of a wallet there last night. Officers got on scene to work that. They immediately set up a perimeter with a canine on the ground. They didn't have any luck with that, but they stopped it. They did not give up. Stayed in the area. One of our canine officers, Officer Zach Harris, was able to find this individual in a house. And the clothes that he was wearing in the robbery, they were able to recover those too. So what a great job that patrol did last night on not giving up. And making this arrest.
Wow, that's fantastic. I love the commitment and getting that end result in. Also, one thing I forgot to mention, because when I talked to you off the air before we came on, you haven't had a lot of sleep because you were working at the shelter last night at the base center. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, I was there last night. And
I hear not a lot of people there.
Yeah, there was just a handful of people there. There was a lot of volunteers from the Red Cross. The Bay Center staff was there, and then I was there. So, that's good. That other people, they did get out. The reports I'm hearing from Central Florida that a lot of people heeded the warnings and got out.
Yep.
I just didn't see a lot of them coming into Pensacola to the Bay Center last night.
Yeah,
There were some, but just not a lot.
Well, and, Eric Gilmore had told me, Director of Public Safety in Escambia County had told me that there were seven there, which, that's not very many for the whole base center, but you had to be prepared just in case. And for those seven, I'm sure it made a difference. I mean, and that's always what we're trying to make sure that, we provide when we can provide. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me today?
Yeah, this is a myth that male police officers are not able to pat down female officers, that, you're just going to have to either not pat them down, take them to jail, or you're going to have to wait until you can get a female officer there. That's true.
Hey, I think you might have misspoken. I just want to clarify. You said male officers pat down female officers. You meant female suspects,
female
right?
Female suspects.
All right, go on.
That was a huge error on my part.
No worries. I said Chicago. I said Illinois the other day when we were talking about Hurricane Milton. So, I mean, you know, the dumbest words come out of my mouth, too. So, no worries. Anyway, go ahead. So, male officers doing pat downs of female suspects.
Yeah, that's it. It's evident I've been up all night. But, female suspects can be patted down for weapons in areas to which they could get to very quickly. So if a male officer is all we've got, then that's what we're going to do. But the protocol for the Pensacola Police Department and many others is to have a female officer come over and do a more thorough search before that female is taken to the jail. Now, once she gets there, she's going to go through a search again. So that myth is not true. The male officers will pat down in areas to where a female could get to a weapon, a large weapon such as a knife or a gun, very quickly.
Okay, no, that's interesting. The things they try to tell you on TV or the things that all your friends know, that just ain't so. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for PPD. Mike, as always, thank you for the time, especially today when you haven't had much sleep. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.